besides that, you've just got a bunch of other guys who are still hanging in the league, but still better than Tyler Hansbrough, who did nothing with the Pacers. Sorry, Will.
Sorry. If Tyler Hansbrough had been too successful, then I never would have seen him at Chipotle a couple of months ago. So,
Psycho T!
I count this as a win for myself in the long run.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0!
Welcome back, everyone, to Full Court Mess, the hottest basketball hot take podcast with the hottest takes, hottest boys, hottest bad ideas. I'm Jared, your local Warrior fan.
My name is Joe, local Bucks fan.
My name is Will, currently dying of a head cold, and that's not just a metaphor for rooting for the Wizards.
We have a special guest today, Brent.
Hello, hi. What's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hi. Yeah, hello. My name is Brent. My name is Brent. You can follow me on Twitter at Brent is back, baby. I would call myself a Pacers fan, but I am totally fair weather, so I will probably not be a Pacers fan within the next 2 years.
Hell yeah.
That's fair.
The smartest way to be a fan is to be a fair weather fan, like 100%.
It's nothing against, you know, the Pacers or anything. The only reason I'm a Pacers fan now is I live in Indy, and it's like, you know, I might as well be a part of something rather than rooting for a team that nobody cares about in the city.
Might I interest you in the Indiana State Sycamores?
See, college basketball, I'll root for anybody from Indiana. Anybody, except for IU.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, all right. I'm still stuck on might as well become something that like a movement within the city, because you couldn't even like use that to justify rooting for the Wizards. But I want to jump in real quick with our enlightenment take. We're going to actually tie this one into the episode today. And, you know, last week we did a little an enlightenment take that we actually agreed with. This week we're going in the incredibly opposite direction. And we're going to give everyone a take that hopefully enlightens all of our listeners to never be this kind of person. But as we'll get to in depth more later, obviously there's a lot of stuff with Utah Jazz fans recently. And it inspires a lot of fans to instantly go to the not all Jazz fans. Like, it's a couple. Like, it's not all of us. Come on. So I wanted to throw back to a take from a couple of years ago. From someone who will leave mostly anonymous, but ran a Utah Jazz fans community, and decided that when Lamar Odom was in the hospital, that they should say that he essentially had it coming, because he decided to mess around with drugs and hookers. So if he died, so be it. I don't get why everyone is being so dramatic about this.
Gonna go ahead and say that's a big yikes from me.
Yeah, that's a no-go.
This is a Utah fan?
It was. Like I said, we'll hit him more later, but a reminder that if everyone keeps thinking all these Utah fans are bad, there's probably something to it.
Or, you know, maybe we're making them bad by, you know, exposing them. So they're like, oh, well, you think I'm bad. I'm just gonna be bad now.
You're right. Someone's just been reading the David Frum piece that was liberals should become fascists before fascists take over.
Whoa. This is a basketball podcast.
Stick to sports. Yeah. Come on.
Politics are just basketball, man.
My theory on Utah fans is that, I mean, a lot of them, Utah's a very religious state. You know, that's common knowledge. As far as religion goes, all about the fundamentals. And I feel like that extends to basketball, where they're all about the fundamentals. And lately they've been sparring with players that aren't usually by the fundamentals. I wouldn't say Westbrook's a fundamental style. Maybe Lamar Odom wasn't fundamental style either.
I don't know. I think Westbrook's incredibly fundamental. He's been on a year year-long, actually career-long crusade against any sort of three-point shooting.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Here's the thing I don't understand about why people hate Russell Westbrook, and especially Utah fans, or let's be honest, white fans in general who want to get on NBA players for not, like, playing hard enough or whatever. You know the type of fans. How does Russell Westbrook have that reputation when he is literally the hardest, like, player in the NBA? Every single play, he tries his absolute hardest. It makes no sense why people hate him.
I mean, he loves his parents, and not everyone can say the same.
People forget this.
I can't.
He messed up and accidentally pissed off all of the anti-parent fans out there.
Right.
You got to go straight down the middle. You can't commit it. Pick a side. Yeah, no, I mean, I can hardly comment on it because as just the biggest Russ stan in existence, I don't have a unbiased point of view on any of it. But I did think it was pretty perfect that the Utah fan got really mad at the beginning. If you listen to even his side of the story where he's blatantly lying, even he goes, well, Russ was talking shit to Joe Ingles, so I jumped in. I was like, of course it was Joe Ingles. Like,
Joe Ingles likes to talk trash. Like,
Joe Ingles does not need protection.
Yeah, okay. No, Joe Ingles is one of the best trash talkers in the NBA.
He's great. He was on that Woj pod, and he was fantastic. I didn't know anything about his personality. I was like, this guy's actually fucking awesome.
I adore that dude. But, of course, that's the guy that, like, it really pissed off the Utah fans that Russ was talking shit.
Imagine going to a game and watching one of the players on the team you're rooting for get, like, shit-talked and then, like, feel like, I need to save him.
When they interviewed the fan and he was, you know, lying about what he said to Russ, he was like, then he started attacking my wife and my wife was just sitting there in her seat. She wasn't even doing anything. And my first thought was like, yeah, dude, because she's covering her face because she's embarrassed that you're standing up and yelling at an NBA player. You're a grown man. Like, sit down and just watch the game.
His piece about it was incredible. He was so ready for this. He was like, then he brought up my wife. My wife, 110 pounds, hands were in her lap. Fuck. I like the implicit thing that it would be totally okay to threaten this guy's wife if she was just a larger person. Like, I mean, if my wife was 6 foot tall, go after her. I don't care.
She can protect herself.
That's very fundamental Utah religion person talk right there.
anyone
got banned now, though. He got banned.
He did.
For life.
For anybody who's not, like, fully aware of the story, which, if you pay any attention to...
We should have started with the story.
Yeah, it's my bad. I should have known the take would have gone into it.
It's all good.
Russell Westbrook does not have a very good history with Utah fans. They've gotten into it a bunch of times. He's brought it up before that he thinks it needs to be addressed, the things that the fans in Utah say, as well as many other players around the league have echoed this sentiment.
For years, Charles Barkley's been going on the record
Stephen Jackson's on the record about it. Like, it's a very clear issue. And last night in Utah, a fan recorded Westbrook getting into it with a fan, and they didn't record the part the fan had said, because they never do.
Of course.
But they recorded Westbrook saying over and over to the guy, essentially, I'll fuck you up on everything I love, I promise. And then at the end he goes, you and your wife, which is the part that really made it blow up, because everyone was like, oh, now he's done it. Which, obviously, if you're doing PR for Russell Westbrook, you really wish he hadn't said the last part. But I thought it was great because this, not specifically that part, that's a bad transition. What I loved about it happening to the guy was it's the same thing that always happens in these scenarios. These people think they can do whatever they want, and then all of a sudden they get a taste of what real life is like, and they hate it. Mm-hmm. They're just like, oh, I love this scenario where I can just say horrible shit to this guy, and no matter what. And then they get a brief glimpse of what reality is like when the guy's like, I'm going to kill you if you keep talking. And then they're like, this isn't fair. I don't like it. I want a lawyer.
He was mean to me.
I didn't ask for this.
He called him classless. I was like, what does that mean?
Classless. That is the number one, like, if you ever say classless, that is instantly me knowing I don't fuck with you.
Right.
Anybody who says classless.
It's like, I was yelling at him, and he yelled back, he's going to flip up. Isn't he classless? I'm like, I mean, you at the very least would have to admit that you are in this scenario too, right? Like, both yelling at each other.
I mean, he was wearing a camo hat.
The moment I opened the video and I saw that, I was like, story told. Just done.
How fast did he go private on his Twitter? Because they found his Twitter.
Oh, he deleted the whole thing within like 30 minutes.
Oh, hell yeah.
And he's already said today that it was because his lawyer advised him to. And I was like, that doesn't make you look any better. <That's>... Your lawyer saw your Twitter account was like, oh no, you got to get all this stuff out of here. And then he was like, yeah, see?
He had like a ton of Trump tweets or something, right?
I know a lot of them were Photoshopped. I don't know exactly which ones are real and which ones weren't at this point, but I'm pretty sure the first one that was like about this like Westbrook guy is a fool and classless, someone needs to beat his ass or something. I think that was real because I saw someone link to it and it wasn't just a screenshot.
Yeah, but that's believable because any Utah fan would say that.
Yeah.
I mean, if it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, it's a duck.
Yeah. I don't think they were I don't think maybe the intent behind it, even if the tweets were fake, they were probably correct, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, like, how do you actually think it feels to be that guy? Like, it happened.
I bet he felt really cool when it happened, and then afterwards he was just like, oh, God damn it!
But how do you think it feels that your whole team that you were rooting for instantly took Russ's side?
Yeah,
which was the correct move.
He's like, I'm defending Joe Ingles' honor, and then instantly the two biggest stars on the Jazz go, yeah, no, that kind of shit can't be tolerated. It's horrible. It's messed up. He should never be here again. Like, do you think he's still a Jazz fan?
I don't know.
He's banned for life.
I don't know how to approach this.
His own team hates him. Like, would you root for your team the same way if you knew that every player on the team?
Yeah, if they don't root for you back.
I don't think there would be too many NBA fans if that were the case. Because I don't think most NBA players would be like, yeah, I appreciate these fans of other teams.
Can you imagine trying to go into like witness protection to get back into a game?
you just see his face pressed up against the glass doors during the start of the game.
Over under 30 minutes, how long this guy cried when Gordon Hayward left?
I'm going to go over because I think he stopped crying to do that interview at the end of the game last
night. Maybe he started back up again.
Oh, yeah. His lawyer told him he should stop. It's a bad look.
Hearing rumors cry, about his alt account called Hayward Sucks, at Hayward Sucks.
I went to check the Utah Jazz SB Nation page afterwards to see their reactions. And of course it was, look, guys, this is a couple bad eggs.
Yeah.
Jazz fans are not like this. And I was like, we've got a lot of people saying Jazz fans are like this. It's an issue that needs to be addressed. But their pinned tweet is still what is it? I'm going to just look it up real quick because it's too good to not say verbatim.
But hashtag this is, not all Jazz fans.
It might as well
let's
be.
Get it trending.
I think there's something important to be brought out of that, though, is this isn't just an issue for Jazz fans. Like, yeah. We want to, like, get on them right now. Like, we're going to get on Celtics fans in another month or two when Kyrie leaves. Like, it's what happens. Like, there are bad people in all of these fandoms. And as you know, if you want to call yourself a good person in the fandom, you got to actively weed these people out and not let them feel safe to do these kinds of things against.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great point because this absolutely is everywhere. And but the one thing that I think the ugly part of the Jazz fans for me is when they try to erase the NBA players who say that it's especially bad in Utah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like that's something to acknowledge and try to tackle. It's not something to say, oh, come on, like they don't know what they're talking about. This happens everywhere. Yeah, it does. But all the people who are dealing with it keep saying it's especially bad here.
If you're the person who's getting it focused on you, you can't bring up how it comes up everywhere. You just got to focus on yourself then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like these guys, like, you know, players get heckled every game. Like, it's part of their job and they understand and they know that. But they also recognize when it's like another level of bad worth mentioning. And then they do mention it. And then the fans are like, shut the fuck up, you fucking bitch ass baby. Whenever it's like, what? If there's a problem, like, let them say it.
Yeah, that was I think it was Free Darko made the point. Nathaniel Freeman at Free Darko made the point that after it happened, he's like, you should always trust what the players say after this because there's no incentive for them to get into it with a fan.
Right.
Like, there's literally no benefit for them. So if all
don't
of a sudden
tell that to Ron Artest.
If they start promising that they're gonna like beat a fan's ass, something probably happened because it would be the dumbest thing in the world to do.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, if anything, they lose from that.
Yeah, like, this is not going to come out a net positive for Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, to them, it's a small amount of money and possibly suspension, but, like...
If he does get suspended, that's... I've got a serious problem with Adam Silver.
No, they already said it's just a fine. It's just a fine.
Yeah, it's just a $25,000 fine.
Yeah.
Which, okay. I do like... I mean, that's, like, the same amount you get if you just say the refs suck, which I feel like feels kind of nice. Like,
I was going to say, that's fine, then. I think a fine is not absurd because, I mean... You do have to have kinds of rules for stuff like this.
Yeah, I'm not stressed about it.
So, yeah, I'm glad they did relatively the right thing.
The for reference, the Utah Jazz SB Nation pinned tweet is Jazz fans to Hayward. You could have had a statue, Donovan Mitchell. Hold my beer.
Oh boy.
Jazz fans are gonna be so much more pissed when Donovan Mitchell leaves in like 4 years.
Yeah, I hope he does like an Antonio Brown thing, and he just like is in the middle of a contract and is just like, fuck it, I don't want to be here, and gets his ass traded. It'd be great.
I hope Gordon Hayward comes back to the Jazz and just sucks off.
Victory tour, one more year. Just terrible.
It's just garbage. I hope the Celtics trade Gordon Hayward for Donovan Mitchell this offseason.
Bring back Mehmet Okur. Bring back Carlos Boozer. Bring back Andrei Kirilenko.
AK-47, baby.
Bring back Deron Williams. The glory days.
So we can agree, right, that Jazz fans are like the cops rights activists of the NBA?
It really seems like it.
This is related topic. Speaking of fan interactions, let's talk about James Dolan.
Oh, yeah.
Best part was all the pundits saying, like, that's how you handle a fan interaction, not what
Wait, is that what they said?
Yeah, I have a tweet of that right now. I
didn't know everyone had seen it, but there was, let me see, while we talk about this, I'll scan and see if I can find the exact guy who said it today.
Was it Doug?
Gottlieb.
Yeah, right. I have that right here.
Thank you so much.
So what happened, we'll start with what happened is, at a Knicks home game, a Knicks fan yelled at James Dolan and said, sell the team. Pretty simple. And James Dolan said, have fun watching at home, and kicked him out. And it is now threatening to ban him from all future games. Gottlieb tweets, James Dolan might be a horrible person, and Westbrook is probably a great dude, but Dolan handled the heckler perfectly. Westbrook made himself look like a fake tough jerk. A-hole fans are the worst, but just get them ejected and move on.
Uh-huh.
Can I just say right now that I want nothing more than for Russell Westbrook to have the power to permanently ban fans from their own home arenas.
Yeah, interesting that he didn't consider ejecting the fan.
No more Mitt Romney.
Can you imagine if you were talking shit in a playoff game in your own stadium and Russell Westbrook from the visiting team came up and banned you for life? He'd be the single group. That's how we get past this issue of fans thinking they can say whatever they want. Let the players decide who gets banned for life.
Oh, man. I do gotta say, though, I think Dolan's reaction is very funny.
It's definitely funny.
When I first read like a tweet when he said that, I laughed. It was like, that's a pretty good comeback. I mean, you're a little bitch, but it's pretty funny.
It's gonna be even funnier when he literally sells the team within the month. Sell the team. Oh, I'm working on it, but you're out of here and banned for life also.
About Dolan, actually, there's another tweet about him talking about selling the team. I'll read it really quick. Kevin Draper tweets, James Dolan implies that a GM, likely Danny Ainge, told Bill Simmons that James Dolan was courting offers to sell the Knicks in order to destabilize the Knicks and prevent them from signing big free agents this summer.
Whoa.
Buddy, that helps your team, if anything.
Also,
just one more fuck you on the way out. Jesus.
Why does Dolan believe Bill Simmons has this much sway over NBA free agents? Like, he saw Kevin Durant went on his podcast 3 times and is like, fuck, he's just going to go wherever Bill tells him to.
Bill Simmons is too busy watching movies no one's ever heard of or cares about.
Bill Simmons
crying. They're rewatchable.
Bill Simmons is too busy getting owned by his son on his own Instagram.
He's too busy getting haunted by the ghosts of Bill Buckner, whatever that fucking tweet was forever ago.
It's been 3 whole months since we won a championship. My God.
I will say, if there's any Knicks fans out here or out there listening, we Pacers fans, we stand with you in solidarity today because we were chanting at the Knicks today to sell the team. So we got your back, guys. We got you.
Wow, the Reggie Miller rivalry is dead. You heard it here first. Spike Lee and Reggie Miller are shaking hands at midcourt right now. It's over. We did it.
We got him.
Brent's
point earlier about like it being funny. This is like the classic scenario of, you know how there's like the rich people who are like, why are you acting like that? You're rich. And then there's the other ones where you're like, that's exactly what you should do if you're rich. Like, they're both bad. But there's the people like Elon Musk who like freaks out all day on Twitter. And you're like, you're a billionaire. Why are you spending your time on Twitter freaking out and name searching and stuff? The correct way to act if you're rich is definitely like James Dolan right there. Someone saying one bad thing about him, him just banning him from his life forever. Like, that's the move. It's terrible and he's the worst. But if you're going to be that guy, you should go all the way and be that guy.
Well, you know, as soon as Dolan sells the team, he can finally, you know, pay more attention to his little band. You know, maybe they can, you know, get that's a record right. deal and, you know, right. get some hits coming.
I have an update. Reggie Miller faked shaking Spike Lee's hand and then did the choking motion over his neck.
Oh, no.
Then Spike Lee's glasses fogged up and it's a whole mess. Oh, the rivalry's back on, guys.
It's back on? Yeah.
It's back on.
I'm hearing an update. Spike Lee is furious. Reggie Miller just retroactively won a 2019 Oscar for best film. Spike Lee is enraged. Literally, Reggie's film was called Black-er Klansman. This is an outrage. So, Jared.
Yeah.
How you feeling? You wanna defend your boys for that effort they put up on the court?
Are you talking about the Suns?
I am referring to the Suns Warriors game.
So
looks like the Bucks aren't the only vulnerable top team in the league.
The champions.
So I'd like to start this with, I don't believe that the Suns are a real team. And it's not like, oh, they're a G League team because they suck. It's that I just don't believe in their existence. I had a bad dream the other night in which the Suns played well and the Warriors, I don't know what they did. They didn't do anything. What happened was I woke up from this dream to about four different text messages. All that said, Suns? ?
That's a
honest question. Were the Warriors at full strength for this game? Because the Bucks weren't like last week either. So
yeah.
We're even. It's an even playing field.
At least I can say that we didn't lose to the Suns twice this season.
Okay. Hold on. Middleton can't hit game winners against the Suns every year.
This card.
This ends, I believe it's an 18 game winning streak against the Suns.
I want to bring up a take. It's one of my favorite takes I've seen in the past couple weeks. It was someone on Twitter right after the Warriors-Suns game. They said, the Warriors lost to Suns, and then they listed Curry's stat line, and he did not have a very good night. And they go, Steph looking awful funny in the light. And
what? Sunlight?
I got to say, defining in the light as a game against the Phoenix Suns that starts at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is my favorite definition of in the light I've ever heard.
Light. The light being great. Like the team that looked for Kelly Oubre as their saving grace.
We went from defining like looking funny in the light to a little known team that all of a sudden was in like Sunday Night Football or something, or an overhead team that was on the big stage, to the most scrutinized team in the NBA all of a sudden had one random game against the Suns. And they go, y'all looking awful funny in the light.
I've got a question here. Does anybody actually think the Warriors are vulnerable, though? Does anybody like actually think that?
Oh God, no.
I
mean, because I don't think they're gonna win the championship this year, but I do not think the Suns game is a microcosm for why they're going to fail.
No, because I mean,
who do you think's winning the championship this year?
Oh, the Bucks.
The Warriors.
The Bucks.
My guy.
Put it on wax, baby. Guy. It's the Bucks. Giannis is the best player in the league, in my opinion. And I think he's going to do enough to get his team to the championship. And the Warriors have never played the Bucks well. Not never, but over the last like 2-3 years have not played the Bucks well. So I'm interested to see, and I think they can pull it off.
And one. Was it 23? Am I getting my number? 24-1, like I said.
All right, I will say this is way out of left field, but I do think the funniest possible thing would be Warriors Bucks game 7, the Warriors go on a 24-1 run to seal the final.
You have spoken it into existence. No. My heart.
I've been fully on the no one's beating the Warriors for year, like last year when people were freaking out. It's like, no, they're not losing, even to the point where they were down 3-2 against the Rockets, and I'm like, no, they're not losing this. And it took a weird occurrence of events, but they didn't. And so I was the same way for most of this year. But recently, I have come around a little bit. I still think if I had to pick one team, I'd definitely be picking the Warriors. And someone asked me Warriors or the field the other day, and I still went Warriors, but I really am kind of thinking it over some more. The one thing is, I think the most dangerous teams are actually in the East this year. I don't think they'll have as much competition in the West.
I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens when they go up against Houston, because they got beat by Houston without Harden, and then another game without Paul. So I think that's an interesting thing to throw into the mix, is that Houston is playing them very well this year.
Houston's doing great. I'm still not certain if I put any – I mean, I don't put really any stock at all for the regular season in them. But at the same time, I'm kind of curious what the flipping the switch will actually look like for this team. They're not really seeming to have any fun anymore.
I mean, the end of last season, I think they only won 10 of their last 17 games.
Yeah. Like, if they turn it on,
yeah,
it's over for everybody. But to that point, even last year in the Western Conference Finals versus Houston, I wasn't certain that they ever turned it on.
No, like, they didn't turn it on until the Western Conference Finals
last year. This is a dumb thing to say, but I couldn't really tell if they were trying.
Right. It's weird. Like, I feel like if there's like vulnerability, it's that throughout the season, they don't really like, I feel like they don't respect half the league. In a way, that's kind of what you want from your team, in a way of like, we will win against you. But in the way for the Warriors, it's like, we're really good, so we don't have to try. And then we don't respect you. And then they lose. I mean, like, they obviously don't respect the Suns. Like, last season, Kerr just said, fucking coach yourselves.
He did. I forgot about that. He did do that.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of merit in a couple. There's a couple of cliches, but I think it's, in this case, they're cliches for a reason. Like, three-peating is really hard for a reason. Even when you're this talented, there's a reason it's so difficult. And I think the Warriors are really in a grind right now.
Right.
And also, I think I hate the name. I hate calling it flipping the switch, because that makes it sound so much more simple than it really is. And I don't really know what it looks like for this team. They're definitely still the most talented, and I think they'll still win it all. And especially if they do, quote unquote, turn it on at some point, they will. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, there are a lot of really good teams in the NBA this year. And if they have to go like Nuggets, Rockets, Bucks, Nuggets, Rockets, Celtics, or something like that, like, that could be a pretty tough gauntlet to go through.
Yeah.
I am not convinced from all I've watched of them this year that their defense is any good, because Draymond he's not fallen off, but he's regressed a little bit. Andre Iguodala is not playing, you know, finals MVP kind of basketball anymore at this point in his career. And I'm interested in a team like the Bucks, who like to play fast and can score in multiple ways. I'm interested to see what happens when they go up against a team where they realize, oh, we're going to have to play our best basketball, and whether they're able to, quote unquote, flip that switch or not.
Yeah.
Or if they're just going to be caught off guard and next thing you know.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I'm not sure at all.
I mean, I feel like with speed, the Warriors are definitely in a rough spot, because, like, Iguodala is getting older. Livingston is getting older, along with just, like, you know, his injury in the past. That's going to keep you from going fast as you age.
Yeah, they don't really have any bench.
So
yeah, that bench is
they just added a Australian League MVP, Andrew Bogut.
Ooh.
So yeah,
I think that's a
good to me. The Warriors apologizer over here.
I don't know. The beginning of the season, I feel like they were faster, but they did have Damian Jones, who is just like a fairly fast young center.
He's super fun.
Yeah, and he's fun, but he's out for the season.
Bogut isn't going to make you faster either.
No, he's not.
So.
He's not. I think he's just there for probably locker room leadership or something.
He's there because they lost to the Celtics, took a deep look in the mirror, and said, we got to get more racist.
Yeah. They said we need a Gamergator of our own.
Exactly.
Oh man, I didn't know about Andrew Bogut's reputation. I'm a little bummed now.
Just oh, he's a pizza gamer, man. He's wild.
Yeah.
God damn. That's a shame.
He's almost Spencer Hawes levels of Gamergator.
Almost.
Oh, almost. Oh,
thank God he isn't.
How was Spencer Hawes in the NBA? Did he like have any friends?
I want to go back to Brent saying that Iguodala isn't playing a Finals MVP level basketball anymore. Does that mean that he's not giving up 49-9 to his opponents every night?
I guess he isn't.
No comment.
I love Iggy, but man, those Kawhi and Iggy Finals MVPs are two of the funniest ever, and
they
especially
are, they are.
Well, who'd you think deserved it instead of Kawhi in that that Finals?
His isn't as funny just because like you had to give it to someone on the Spurs, and he was good enough on offense that it mattered. But it is funny that such a big part of even his was saying that, like, hey, defense was a big part of this Finals MVP. And he goes, all right, man, like, I can say he did an admirable job, but I don't think there was anything necessarily most valuable about how anyone defended LeBron and those. It was very valuable how people defended the other four players,
mm-hmm.
Because that was really what mattered there. But yeah, I mean, I don't think I would. I'd be curious to go look back to see maybe if anyone else had impressive series. But Kawhi probably deserves his. Steph should have gotten Iguodala's.
Yeah, that was crazy.
People just invented in their minds that Steph had a bad series because he had one bad game against Dellavedova, but he torched the Cavs for like the final like four games of that series.
Yeah, and at that point, we all thought that like Steph might be the best player in the world too.
Yeah, that was like him taking the throne almost until LeBron yanked it back exactly 1 year later. Sorry, I really, that whole thing was just so I could get off that take about Steph looking funny in the light. So I'm glad that we'll have an NBA Finals this year where everyone involved lost to the Suns.
Yes.
Are we all thinking Warriors Bucks in the finals?
I think so.
Is that
I think
a
so.
Consensus?
That's what I'm thinking.
I'm having a tough time. If I had to pick two, those are two I pick. The East is going to be awesome this year. The second round of the playoffs on, it's going to be a blast.
Oh, for sure.
I'm still pretty scared of the Celtics, and I think the Raptors could be awesome, and Philly's got so much talent. So I keep going back and forth on everybody, but I also don't want to be too guilty of overthinking it. And the Bucks have the best record, the best net rating in the league, and they have the best player in the East. So I should probably go with them.
Yeah. I think whichever team in the East ends up with the 4 seed, or whoever has to play the Pacers, basically. Actually has to, like, the 6, 7, 8 seeds in the East are going to be like cakewalks for the most part. You know, the Nets or the Pistons might win a game or two, but like, you're not going to have to give like 100%.
I don't know.
If you're playing the Pacers, like if you're Philly or Boston playing the Pacers, you're going to have to like win that series. You're not going to be able to just coast through it. So.
Yeah,
like I don't know.
Whoever has the lower seed is going to have to like win 3 series to get to the finals, and like 2 in a way.
And whoever is that four, whoever comes out of like 4 or 5 with the Pacers, assuming the Pacers are in that matchup.
I honestly think the Pacers are going to slide to 5. So cool. They have to play like the Nuggets, the Warriors, the Lakers. They got to go take their West Coast trip in the next 2 weeks. So I don't think they're going
to. They got to play Andre Ingram and the Lakers.
Ooh, bad news.
Like, say you're the 4, you get the Pacers round 1, which is tough. Next round, you get the Bucks. So, like, that's an awful road if you get the 4 seed.
Right. And the Bucks just playing the Heat, probably. You know, like.
Oh, God.
I will say.
Or the Magic.
They've earned the box.
I will say, though, I think you're sleeping a little bit on the Nets. I'm not saying they'll win a series, but if you're going up against a team like Boston, who seems to have not been super focused and not super together, I think they could give Boston a little bit of a run for their money.
I do like the Nets a lot, and they've been playing well. Dinwiddie's back. I love Spencer Dinwiddie.
The amount of trouble they give Philly every time they play, the Nets might just straight up sweep Philly if they play in the first round.
That'd be fun. That'd be awesome.
If Theo Pinson scores a basket in the NBA playoffs, I am not liable for what I do.
You gotta spend your tax return check on a Theo Pinson boogie sweater Brooklyn Nets jersey.
I'm getting that jersey. It's the next jersey I'm getting. I can't not have that. I'm going to get some of those all gray Jordan 11s that he wears all the time too. Just walk around.
Good thing for the Nets is that Caris LeVert's bobblehead night is already out of the way.
Yes. That's true.
If you can overcome that, you can overcome anything.
Right. All right. Let's see what else is going on in the league. Let's talk about Serge Ibaka.
Serge Ibaka was throwing hands the other night.
With the son of the show.
If he would have connected on that main punch, I think Marquise Chris would be like in a coma.
Yeah, he wouldn't be suspended, but he'd be in concussion protocol for 3 weeks.
Two questions. First one, is Marquise Chris the first man to get suspended an NBA game for being choked?
let's see, I'm trying to think. PJ Carlissimo did not get suspended, so he might be.
Who was it that Bielitsa put in the headlock like last year?
Who was that?
It was a
shout out to the correct pronunciation as well.
Thank you. I've been working. I was hoping we would talk about this because I've been
Aaron Aflalo.
Aaron Aflalo, thank you.
Aaron Aflalo.
So I don't know what happened to
Aaron Aflalo.
But follow-up question, do you think as of right now Marquise Chris is regretting that trade request he made as a member of the Rockets?
I feel bad for Marquise Chris, man.
He sure is getting more minutes on the Cavs.
He definitely is. He had that awesome dunk like 2 weeks ago, but...
He did. He's still athletic. He's not any good at basketball.
I feel bad for him, man. I can't tell whether, like, these kinds of players are bad or if it's just the Suns, you know, back to the Suns. Like, I don't know if that stink ever gets off you during your career.
It's a great
Bender could have been the next Dirk Nowitzki had he not been drafted by the Suns.
You know, you're right. That's absolutely right.
That's not even a hot take.
Sorry. I'll try to get them spicier for you.
It's not bad enough.
What NBA player has had a more cursed start to their career than Kelly Oubre getting drafted by the Wizards and traded to the Suns?
Ooh. Half the people that are drafted by the Kings.
Jimmer Fredette?
No. Okay.
I don't think that was cursed. I think that was cursed.
Yeah, Jimmer got a chance on the dang Spurs.
True. True.
You think Jimmer's happier playing over in China? He's gotta be.
He's getting he's getting paid.
He's averaging like 50 a game.
Michael Beasley's back in China now too.
I mean,
yes.
The human bucket.
Jimmer can play in China and also say that he's on a mission.
Nice.
hey.
Looks good. Hustle. Looks good for him.
Basketball's a side hustle.
See, the thing with this fight is that everyone's calling it a fight, and I think in a fight it takes both parties to fight.
I don't really know what caused it. I saw Chris do like a stare down.
Yeah, I saw.
But I don't know if he like said something before that or if there was. You know, earlier in the game, some things happened or whatever, but...
I saw someone post the clip from the Boondocks where they just say, what do you think he said to make him so mad?
It's true, though. Like he stares him down or, like, whatever, and whatever he said, and then Ibaka just gets up and goes at it. Like, that's not a fight. That's just a man getting beat up.
Into the banister.
Right. That's just Marquise Chris getting beat up.
It was very reminiscent of... I had a day in high school where I was going through the hallway and fights were not rare at my high school, but there's two guys were walking and they just like bumped into each other. I kept walking, but then like when they got like 3 steps away from each other, one of them just like stopped. Like he just realized what happened, turned around, sprinted after the other guy and like jumped up and Superman punched him in the back of the head. That's pretty much what happened between like Marquise and Serge, where they tangled up, they fell, it happened. They both got up and you thought, Serge got up and you thought everything was kind of over. And then Serge was just like, oh, hell no.
Can we talk about Serge Ibaka for just a second?
Yes.
His career progression is very, very interesting. Being a guy who, like, when he was first in the league with the Thunder, who would get, like, 4 blocks a game and was a defensive monster, to nowadays where he doesn't play defense and he just shoots, like, threes and mid-range jumpers.
It's odd.
Serge it's a wild Ibaka progression.
Was the second most, arguably... I don't think this is a hot take, but it might be. Arguably the second most important piece to that almost upset of the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals.
I agree, actually.
He was really good there.
He was monstrous. And the thing was...
Steven Adams is really good there, too. That would be my first.
That's
best.
True. But his thing was he was so big and fast that it was just like impossible to deal with, and it created such a matchup problem on the defensive end. And then like you look at him now, and I can't even like I feel like I couldn't convince a kid that he ever used to be fast.
Yeah,
I think something in Orlando changed him.
Oh God, I forgot that even happened.
See, something bad happened there.
Every time like I read recaps of Raptors games, and this is partially because the Raptors writers I follow are pretty volatile people, but like every other one is Serge was incredibly important tonight. Man, if we get that going forward, championship. But then every other one is Serge played the worst game of his life tonight.
Yeah.
He does love to fight though.
He does love to fight. He does. I remember I was a Thunder fan when I was a young kid because I thought the name the Thunder was the best name for a professional sports franchise.
Nice.
And I remember him. He was like a real nice guy. He would smile a whole lot. And then he punched Blake Griffin in the dick. And everything just like Hunter. I don't know what happened.
I was playing a game of fuck, marry, kill with NBA players, and I just couldn't pick him for Mary because I was worried he was going to punch me in the nuts.
But he's so beautiful.
He's so beautiful. But he's a nut puncher, and that docks your points.
It does.
What did you go with for him then?
It was a good list of three people, so I put him last for the nut punching.
Okay.
But like the other options were like
Kyle Lowry had to be on that list.
Oh man, I wish.
Oh no.
Stephen Adams was there. I married Stephen Adams.
Oh hell yeah.
Oh, that's the right move. That's the right move.
Yep.
And I got busy with Raul Neto.
That's also a great
now
choice.
We're talking. Now we're talking.
I'm telling you, it was great options. So like I didn't feel that bad. But that's why the little things can push you one way or the other.
You had no other choice.
Exactly.
Those were the right choices.
Thank you.
Should we talk about big Laker news of the changing of the Ingrams?
Yes.
We'll start with bringing on Andre Ingram, G League legend. He's a legend.
Absolutely.
We'll just fucking say it.
Absolutely.
He's on
Mr. G League.
He's brought up on a 10-day, replacing the young Ingram, who has a blood clot in his arm.
Yeah.
His
right shoulder, I believe.
It's like a DMV injury or something.
DVT.
That's the one.
Close. He has to get his driver's license, and it's
I had a DMV injury once.
hear me out, folks. The DMV is so slow, you'll be out for the rest of the season.
There it is.
Whoa, hey.
But yeah, no, prayers up for Brandon Ingram. That's not fun.
That's not good. That's similar
to... Is that the same thing Chris Bosh had going on, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really, really tragic because Brandon Ingram, everybody was clowning all of the young Lakers assets early in the season. But over the last, like, since the All-Star break, Brandon Ingram looked really fucking good.
He's been balling.
I saw someone point out the two best stretches of Brandon Ingram's career, this one that just happened and the one really good stretch he had in his first year, have both, coincidentally or not, directly coincided with when Lonzo was out. And I'm going to keep it a whole buck. I straight up do not watch the Lakers enough to know if that's correlation or causation.
I think there is a correlation there. I think they're both good players. I don't think they can play together. There are just some players, you know, that don't mesh well together. And I think they're their types. Magic has not been a great drafter, it seems.
Oh, he hasn't been good at signing free agents either. He's just doesn't seem like a good team builder.
I feel pretty confident that no one on the Lakers has been that good at anything.
I was going to say, remember when everybody was upset at like Dan Levitard for saying, hey, he doesn't have any experience. Is that weird? Everybody was like, oh, he's being racist or whatever. It was like, I mean, we're looking at it now and it's like,
I mean, we could have looked at all his tweets about players he liked. That's a gold mine of its own right there.
Michael Carter-Williams, the next Magic Johnson.
Right.
Did y'all see the tweet? I think it was today, the report that other GMs in the league just hate Rob Pelinka and won't talk to him.
Of course, he's a former agent. His
exactly.
His
why was he hired agent from your GM?
It's so fucking stupid. God. What? Also, why does Rob Pelinka? He kind of looks like a Ken doll. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
His skin's too tight.
There's just something wrong about him. It's very creepy. I don't like looking at him. Like that picture when LeBron signed and he was just like holding the contract. I was like, who the hell is this like Rob Lowe lookalike? He's hanging along with LeBron.
Discount wax figurine Rob Lowe.
I mean, he looks like an agent.
Yeah.
Also, why do Magic and him only watch games from the tunnel?
That's
like
also
every time
weird.
I watch, every time I watch a Laker game, whenever they show him and Magic, it's never in a press box. They're always just in the tunnel being shady. I don't get it.
You can't
even
see
shit from
there.
Do you think
that's
why they're really bad at good players? Because they only scout people from the tunnel and they have no clue who's good at basketball and who isn't?
Maybe.
It looks like JaVale McGee has the ball, and then like you just hear a big cheer from the crowd, and they're like, he must have done something good. Give him a contract.
Shout out to Andre Ingram coming back, though. It's really nice to see these guys who, you know, spend a lot of time grinding, whether they spend a lot of time in the G League, whether they go over to Europe or to Asia. It's always nice to see them get a shot. And last year in his two games, I think he averaged like 11.5 points a game. So, I mean, it's definitely he deserves it. And
oh, yeah, given
it makes me feel good to see that.
Given his minutes, he balled out.
Yeah.
And like seeing the news that they put him on 10-day, I'm like, oh, I need to watch all these Laker games.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about anyone else, just Ingram.
They got to just give him an end of the roster spot, you know, like for the season. Like, why not? Like, who's taking up that spot?
Muscala?
Is Reggie Bullock really any better than him? Like,
Whoa. Yes.
This is a very pro Reggie Bullock podcast.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, Will.
We didn't give him the notes.
Reggie Bullock is at worst the like fifth best player on the Lakers. out of everyone on the team, he can play defense and shoot the three ball at an elite level, and that's more skills than everyone on that team not named LeBron James. Like, literally, no one can shoot. Kuzma's the best one, and what is he like throwing in the hoop at like 34-35%, streaky as hell?
Yeah.
And he definitely can't defend. And Bullock managed to have a good season on the Pistons, which, if you can play well in Detroit, you can play well anywhere.
Let me bring up this Stephen A. Smith quote while we're on this. He says, "You traded a guy like Zubac, who's 21 years of age, 7-footer with skills, who happens to be your best free throw shooter, for some guy named Mike Muscala, who looks like he can't play better than you or me, and I'm 51 years old."
When did Ivica Zubats become like this prodigy?
Yeah, no, we gotta talk about this.
Here's the thing, Zubats has been good since his rookie year. Zubats in his per 36 minutes are fantastic.
Sure, and so are John Henson's, but that doesn't mean he's like this total how could the Lakers give up this guy? He was on a track to be a mate. No one was talking about this until he's on the Clippers.
He wasn't going to be a superstar, but he's a nice little piece that you shouldn't give away for nothing.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I mean, you put him next to Mike Muscala, Zubac looks amazing.
Yeah, no, like, it was definitely – it's a thing where it's like the Lakers were dumb as hell to just give him up for no reason in a dump. But it is hilarious watching people, like Clippers fans and people around the league, just to clown the Lakers. They'll like, I'll see them posting, they're like, oh my god, the Lakers gave this guy up for nothing. And they'll go like check his stat line. He dropped like 5 points and 3 rebounds. And I'm like, cool.
But he did that in 4 minutes. Per 36 minutes. That's 40 and 20, baby.
Like, I'm sitting there and they're like, they gave up a guy for nothing. I'm like, I mean, they gave up a guy who's like has a good chance at being a good backup center for nothing, which is stupid, but come on.
Yeah, no, he's not a superstar. He's not an all-star, but he's a nice guy who can rebound and, you know, get putbacks. And I think that's something LeBron needs at this point, where nobody can shoot and him not having a great shooting season either. So,
Didn't they say they gave him up to give, like, JaVale McGee needed more time on the court?
Yeah, JaVale McGee said that JaVale McGee was complaining, so they shipped him out.
Just give him less minutes for the rest of the season and then figure something out.
I was going to say, he's going to be a restricted free agent, so they could re-sign him easily over the summer.
Yeah.
Just cut the veil. Who cares if he's complaining?
Whoa.
JaVale's got bargaining power. He could return to the Warriors, Jared. If he would have gotten cut by the Lakers, he absolutely would have gone back to the Warriors.
But now we have Bogut.
JaVale would have been awesome on the Warriors. He would have been your, like, Damian Jones that you
Yeah, because he actually, like, is athletic.
He's amazing on the Warriors. Like, he fits perfectly on that team.
And he can shoot threes now, apparently.
Well, can he?
He sure does.
He can try.
About the, is this the part of the show where we just make stuff up about JaVale McGee?
I believe he got a three. I think he made it in like his first game of the year for the Lakers. Everyone's like, "Wow, look what he learned from the Warriors." It's like, we actually never let him shoot that.
Yeah, because you're a decent team who's not full of idiots like the Lakers.
I mean, the Lakers need a shooter.
Next, they're going to need to invest in a maker. Thon Maker.
Oh, man. Thon Maker on the Lakers.
Where is Thon Maker?
Detroit.
Pistons, baby.
Oh, my God. Oh, that.
You can play well in Detroit. You can play well anywhere.
That's a great seg to a take I saw this past week. Just a couple of days ago, it was from Bleacher Report, the verified Bleacher Report account. I had to check. And it posted a clip of like Drummond and Blake doing some stuff in a Pistons win before they got obliterated by the Nets. And they said they listed their stats and were like, it's time to talk about it. Are Blake and Andre the best big man duo in the league? And I got like really mad. I was like, are you kidding me right now? And then I got even madder because I thought about it for a second and I was like, oh no, are they?
I think they are, but I don't think it matters in 2019.
Yeah, I was just like, because no good teams care about having like two good big men.
If it was 2003, like, the league would be shook.
I was like, they legitimately might be the best big man duo in the league, but it just doesn't matter at all.
It doesn't. What else they got?
I was like running through the good teams and each one of them has like one big man on the whole roster where I was like, well, if you list their small ball four along with their center, then you could make a case. But it really, it was a downer because I was so ready to clown on them. And then I got so much more upset as I ran through all the playoff teams and realized, oh no, I was really hoping I would bring this up and one of you would say, Will, you forgot so-and-so and I would be happy again. But
no,
yeah, we're just kind of stuck like this. I'm going to say, Boban and Embiid are the best big man duo in the league. And we have the evidence from that guy who said that who's going to stop the Sixers when they put both of them on the court at the same time.
Because that lineup is common.
Oh, yeah. When they play, he's like, the Celtics can't match up with the Sixers when the Sixers put in Boban and Embiid.
Form a fucking wall.
think about it, though. If Boban and Embiid is in the game, Al Horford can only guard one of them.
They still got to worry about Embiid killer Aaron Baines.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Baines.
That's right.
Well, how are the Celtics going to deal with it when
Daniel Tice the
Sixers put Embiid into the game riding on top of Boban's shoulders? He would be 7 feet above the hoop. It would honestly probably be pretty difficult for him to shoot. It would be harder than usual.
Boban just dunking his teammates into the hoop while, as they hold the ball.
And shaking the rim after he does it without leaving the floor. One of my primetime sons.
So I have an interesting tweet I'd like to bring up.
Let's hear it.
Before we get to Joe's throwback. I'm going to read it before I say who it is. This was on 4/17/18. Tweet at 5/29. Here to announce I have officially switched my NBA fandom. As some of you remember, I switched my fandom this summer to the Milwaukee Bucks. However, I have decided to switch once again to the Indiana Pacers as my favorite NBA team. Thank you for joining. Meeting adjourned.
Who said that?
What's going on here, Brent?
All right. So, I touched on this a little bit. My NBA fandom has always been weird because, I started out as a Thunder fan because I thought they had a cool name and I was like 13 or 14. It was the year they just moved to Oklahoma City. So I was a Thunder fan for a little while. And it was a good time because, you know, they were getting good and everything. And everything was fine. Then that fucking Warriors series happened.
Oof.
And Steph Curry hit a three-pointer right over Steven Adams as Steven Adams stood over him. And I knew at that instant, I was like, it's never going to be the same again, is it? So I stepped back a little bit and I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll look for a new team. I'm not
so you abandoned ship.
In
this case, Steph Curry actually did ruin basketball for somebody.
Team killer.
He did. And I was gonna say, you wouldn't even imagine what my reaction was when Kevin Durant went to the Warriors. I was one of those. I was like probably what, 18, 17 years old, but I was definitely being like, oh, they've ruined basketball, nah, 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 all this bullshit, you know? And I was like, well, I got to look for a new team. And I had on 2K, I would usually play as the Bucks because I love to play as Giannis and just go in and dunk on everybody. So I was like, you know what? I'll be a Bucks fan now. It's that's what it is now. So I was a Bucks fan for a minute. And then I moved to Indianapolis and I was like, I want to be a part of something and nobody really cares about the Bucks, so I'll be a Pacers fan. So
wow,
I'm
okay.
A Pacers fan now. But I might be changing soon again.
Back.
I have a few perspective teams.
Okay.
All right.
Let's hear this.
All right. So one of these teams. Now this is a team that I really want to be a fan of, but there will be a big backlash at some point. I really want to be a Mavericks fan. Because I really love Luka, and I like KP as well. However, if they are good, or if they're bad, there's going to be a lot of clowning on that team.
For
rightful reason. So that's why I'm not sold on switching over to a Mavs fan yet. They've also got to change those jerseys. They need new jerseys.
I mean, they're so bad. They're also like the first real team to try to do the Donald Sterling challenge. Which I thought was just exclusive to NBA 2K. So they're unique in that way.
You know, they're unique. So I'm keeping my eye on the Mavs. I'm not saying anything yet. I'm gonna stay cool on them. I
Plus
might just
got
stick
Mark with Cuban. You can't be in too high of support of Mark Cuban.
Exactly. Yeah. I also like the Nets. I've been looking at the Nets because I do think Kevin Durant is going there this summer, and I do want to relive my Kevin Durant fandom. A little nostalgia, you know?
If he goes to the Knicks, what would you do?
What would I do? I think I would laugh.
Okay, yeah, all right.
I would laugh. Just because that seems like shit show from the go, so.
I would love to see him on the Nets.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be fun.
That's man. That's what needs to happen. I really think it'll happen.
So Nets and Mavs, those are the two.
Is it a Nets, Mavs. I might just stick with the Pacers. I'm trying to think. Nah, no other team interests me as much. Maybe the Trailblazers, but yeah, nah. Nothing really got me more interested than Mavs, Nets, or Pacers.
The Bucks would welcome you back to its fandom with open arms.
I will always like the Bucks, but I'm not sure if I can, you know, jump fully on the bandwagon now that they're very good. I like to jump on a team just before they're good. Like the Thunder, like the Bucks, like the Pacers.
Sure.
I think there's an important trend to point out here that will help us figure out who Brent's next team is going to be. If we look at his reasoning for choosing teams, it was like, oh, that name's really cool. And then it was, I play with them on 2K. And then it was, I live near there and no one here cares about the prior team. So we've nailed down, it's always like really lame reasons and they seem to be getting worse. So if we can find a team that has just almost no point to rooting for it except one very small thing, I think that's who it's going to be. Like, it can't be the Mavs because Luka and KP liking them is too tangible a reason. So it needs to be like, yeah, I'll root for the Magic because I read Harry Potter as a kid. And then it'll be like, that's funny.
No, then I would be a Wizards fan with you, Will.
Well, there are no.
Oh, no.
No one wants it. You think you want it up until people start texting you Robin Williams gifts, and then
I'm good. I think I will count out the Wizards. They're not for
me. You'll be regretting it when Zion ends up there this summer.
Just like boy. Kevin Durant, you're not even going to give the Wizards a chance.
See, I'm ready to take you back, KD. Let's go somewhere new. Let's start over again. We can start this all fresh.
I'm starting this summer. Everyone be warned in advance. I'm starting KD to DC 2. And by starting, I mean jumping on Jake Whittaker, who is the absolute GOAT, who has already started it. I'm jumping on his bandwagon. It's time we got this going again.
Oh, Wizards. The depression of the NBA.
I feel like we're kind of like more like the Dust Bowl.
Are they ever just gonna like just tank? Are they ever gonna do it?
They don't know
how. No, so the thing is, the Wizards make perfect sense the second you realize that winning and being actually successful means nothing to them. And they just want to be good / mediocre enough to look respectable to someone who doesn't pay attention. Like, okay. If you realize that's the goal, every move they make makes sense. They know that with Ernie, they can lock themselves into high-priced mediocrity and compete for the 8 seed every year. And they're good with that because someone on the outside who knows nothing about basketball will be like, oh, yeah, 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 like, fight for the playoffs. I get it. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, that's what we want to give off. We want to inspire. Eh. And they do.
Do you think either John Wall or Bradley Beal is getting traded in the offseason?
I don't see any way they can trade John.
Yeah, that contract is huge.
It seems impossible. I mean, he's not even going to play for another year. And then who knows what he's like when he does. So his career is more than likely over in all intents and purposes, and he's still on that deal, so that's a no. And then Beal, no, because he's their only path to looking somewhat respectable. Like, they don't have the guts to tank.
That's a shame, just being stuck in the middle.
They will. Not even the middle. They're at the bottom. They're like the 7th worst team in the NBA. But, wow.
Really?
Yeah, for real. Like, I mean, they're
below the Magic, for sure.
They're the 5th worst team in the East and 7th worst in the league. The last time I checked the standings, it could have changed a little bit, but not by much. But they can't fully embrace it. But I can promise you that they will raise season ticket prices again this summer.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Will.
We don't have the sad music anymore, so I don't need to go into the Wizards. But
actually, I think we do.
Oh, no.
Hit it.
Life is pain. Get well soon, John Wall.
Life is pain was enough.
All right, Joe, give me your goddamn retro take so I can get out of this.
All right. This retro take comes to us from Yahoo Answers from the year 2009. I was told before Brent logged on that he was a Pacers fan, so it's Pacers fan related. Also North Carolina related.
2009? Oh, we're going into... Oh, yes!
I know who got drafted by the Pacers around there.
I was going to say, I know the exact article you're talking about, and I remember reading it when I was a kid.
All right, great. So, this take is related to probably that article you're referring to, and the question asks, are the Indiana Pacers racist?
Oh, no, that was not the... See, I remember reading an article in the South Bend Tribune around that time asking if Tyler Hansbrough was the next Larry Bird.
Well, if you answered yes, then you should be called a racist, I feel like. Because that's just thinking, you know, all white people are the same.
So this question was asked in response to Bob Kravitz of the Indy Star, who no longer works at the Indy Star. He was laid off this last year, apparently. I looked it up. I don't think for this article, but maybe for accumulation of articles like this.
The Indy Star just needs to print a million Greg Doyle columns a day to keep the business alive, and that's all they care about.
Okay, so he, in 2009, printed an article, and Deadspin is kind of covering it in 2009 also. So I'll just read the first couple paragraphs of this Deadspin article before I dive into the actual take. So it says, in the time-honored tradition of raising a controversial proposition for the express purpose of shooting it down, Indy Star stalwart Bob Kravitz asks, why are the Indiana Pacers so white? You know who else is white? Larry Bird, the Pacers president and the whitest white boy of all time. In a league that is almost 90% non-white guys, Bird has assembled a roster that is 50% see-through, and just drafted the whitest of white hopes, Tyler Hansbrough.
My
man. So what gives?
Jazz fans are so jealous. Okay.
I was gonna say.
So that's the purpose of the article.
Did you pick this up just to like make me feel embarrassed or what?
I don't know. I just think it's a funny response and everything, and we can analyze the 2009 NBA draft a little bit.
Let's take a look at those names.
I do want to quickly interject with, I'm pretty sure we can assume that despite what he said, the real reason he became a Pacers fan is because they were very white. I think we know that about Brandon. So just assume that moving forward.
Yeah.
That's canon now. Yes.
Yeah. Bojan Bogdanovic, favorite player in the league.
Domantas Sabonis? Yes, please.
Yes.
All right.
TJ,
are the Indiana Pacers racist? Why would they draft Tyler Hansbrough when there was better talent at the time? That is the whole question. Best answer. Ooh. I forgot who wrote that story a couple weeks ago, but that was reckless journalism. Of course not. I remember Larry Bird saying that the NBA is a, quote, an African-American league. He said that with a four-man sit-down with Magic Johnson, Carmelo Anthony, and LeBron James. I believe you can look that up. It was in 2004. Anybody remember that?
Not at all.
Nope.
I was six.
2004 is the first year I remember watching basketball, so I was not ready to be paying attention to sit-downs between Larry, Magic, LeBron, and Carmelo, which is quite the group.
Yeah.
That is an interesting squad.
I like to imagine it wasn't about anything about what Larry was doing, and then out of nowhere, Larry Bird just goes, the NBA is an African-American league. And then the other three guys just look at him, and they're like, huh? We're asking who you think has the best chance to win the finals this year, Larry.
The NBA is an African-American league.
That classic Indiana accent. Here's the thing, too. I'm looking at this draft now, the 2009 draft, and there were better players available afterwards that the Pacers could have gotten.
Not too many, though.
But still, you have one player who is from Indianapolis specifically in Jeff Teague, who would have been a slam dunk to go there at the time. You've also got Drew Holiday. And besides that, you've just got a bunch of other guys who are still hanging in the league, but still better than Tyler Hansbrough, who did nothing with the Pacers. Sorry, Will.
Sorry. If Tyler Hansbrough had been too successful, then I never would have seen him at Chipotle a couple of months ago. So,
Psycho T!
I count this as a win for myself in the long run.
Psycho T!
So this answer goes on, and remember, this is in 2009, so this is literally like, hold on. Yeah, the answer was 10 years ago, so this is basically right after the draft, or maybe during that rookie season. It goes on. Tyler Hansbrough shouldn't have slipped that far, in my opinion. They had the 13th pick that year. He says, if you weren't getting players like Blake Griffin, Hashim Thabeet, Ricky Rubio, Tyreek Evans, James Harden, or Stephen Curry, then it's pretty much a toss-up. You know, Hashim Thabeet and all those other players on the same level as Hashim Thabeet. I guess you can say maybe Ty Lawson would have been a good pick for Indiana, since they have point guard issues right now, but everybody picks a big before a small, unless it is known that the point guard will be great. Plus, they just signed Dante Jones, so they can't be racist.
Oh, I forgot this was even about
finally,
that.
That was a good finally, comment. Somebody's sticking up for us.
What a different time this was in the league. You always take a big before a small.
Yeah.
Can I say something about Ty Lawson really quick?
Maybe, depending on how nice it is.
To me, Ty Lawson has always been a player. Like, every time I look at him, I think, he's too old to play, right?
To me, Ty Lawson's career highlight was when he posted, like, the video of him smoking a blunt on Twitter, like, while he was still with the Nuggets. That's my Ty Lawson career highlight.
That fucking rules, actually.
It was. It was fucking great.
So I'm looking at the 09 draft, some of the names after Tyler Hansbrough in the draft. James Johnson, Drew Holiday, Ty Lawson, Jeff Teague, Darren Collison, Omri Caspi, Taj Gibson, Damari Carroll, Wayne Ellington. That was the first round. Second round, Jonas Urebko, Patrick Beverley, Danny Green, Patty Mills. So several other, at least on the level of Tyler Hansbrough, I would say. So probably not a great take on the answer of saying everything after pick 13 is basically a toss-up. But
well, you got to think that's misconstruing a little bit, because they couldn't have taken Teague or Damari because they were destined to become players of the month down in Atlanta.
That's right.
You're right.
And if they had taken that from us, then I would have been angry forever.
I can just imagine the hometown boy, Jeff Teague, just rule in the city. That would have been the best.
Ugh. Are the Pacers still racist if they get Danny Green and he still does the had to do it to him post? Where does that place them in this?
Is that your thinker? Is that the thinker for the week? Well, see you later.
And we're done.
That's the retro take for the week, fellas.
That was a fun one.
I've been thinking a lot about the 09 draft. And
I tried to think
about the 09 draft. Last sentence really got me. They just signed Dante Jones, so they can't be racist.
I cannot believe Patrick Beverly has been in the league for 10 years.
That guy's going to play forever.
Well, no, I was going to say, he didn't play immediately because he spent, I think, like the first like 4 years of his career over in Europe. But
Yeah. I do.
Before we let out, do you mind if I get off one real quick take? I've been itching to get this off of my chest.
We're off the record. We're off the books now.
No one will hear this.
I wanted to get this. I want to you know, have a good enough take that y'all might invite me back and everything.
Okay.
So this is my take. This is an international basketball take too. So little out of the box. I believe that if Yugoslavia was still a nation, they would give the U.S. a run for its money in international basketball play.
Go on.
Show me the receipts.
Well, I mean, so let's face it. You have players out of Slovenia, Croatia, Serbia, Bosnia, Montenegro, and Macedonia. Already, you have Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic.
Mirotic,
Nurkic, anybody whose last name ends with itch. basically. And then Bogdanovich, you got the elite.
Bogdanovich.
Yes, Bielitsa, players like that. And the reason I say they could give the U.S. a run for its money is because right now, the U.S. is not making a lot of super great big men. Like, look at a lot of the best centers in the league. A lot of them are not Americans.
That's true.
Whether it be Joel.
Cousins.
Cousins is one, but this is part of why this is a hot take.
Frank Kaminsky.
The U.S. has Jahlil Okafor, so we're gonna be all right.
JaVale McGee. Yeah.
JaVale McGee. Yeah, I'm not. I'm just saying, if Yugoslavia were to come back, there would be in the 2020 Olympics the Yugoslavia Dream Team.
So you're saying bring them back?
Bring it back. Bring communism and Yugoslavia back.
You heard it here first.
I said it. Shout out to all my Hrvatski out there. I'm chilling. I'm actually wearing a Croatia soccer jersey as I record this. So.
This is a communist podcast, by the way.
Absolutely.
Thank God. Thank God.
I'm wearing a Keith Van Horn Bucks jersey. Am I racist?
I figured y'all were commies when I accidentally played Chapo earlier. And none of you went, well...
I'm just wearing underwear as long as we're all listing what we're in right now.
Hell yeah.
Every time before we podcast, I drink a bunch of milk and then strip down. And that's how I'm ready.
We're off the rails.
Where you got this?
Never should have brought up Yugoslavia.
This is curious.
Every time someone brings up Yugoslavia, it's only 30 seconds until we're talking about how at least half of us are nude.
So
I like it. It's a good take. There are a ridiculous amount of good players there. And I think the one problem with just like if I was going to like really dig in, my one thing I always go to is just the U.S. has so many more good players. Like the U.S.'s bench is just so much better than everyone else's bench. But I could absolutely see like the U.S. fucking around too much in a game in maybe, I don't even know if it's 2020, but maybe like 2024, messing around a bit too much and then getting caught and all of a sudden having the silver medal and being like, oh God, what did we do?
Right.
Also, another thing is who is going to play in these games, because not the best players from the nations participate in the international play. So
yeah, especially like LeBron's going to be done then. Like Kevin Durant's going to be pretty old, come like 24 or something like that. Like we don't exactly know how great. Like the U.S. is going to be, it's going to be stacked. There's just too much good basketball talent, but we don't exactly know who it's going to be. And we know that these, if say they all played for the same nation, if Yugoslavia did exist and they all played for it, we know they would be stacked because we know these guys are already good.
Yeah. It'll be different for the U.S. team for sure.
I think we might get to a period though, especially with I love what they're doing with the Rising Stars Challenge and making it World versus USA. And I think we might get to a period coming soon, maybe like mid-2020s, where when it's the big Olympic competitions, some of the best players are back to playing them. Because there's going to be other countries who are legitimately trying, and I think there's going to be young and hungry kids who want to try, and it's not like... Right now, people aren't trying as much because the best players are all in their 30s. They don't care as much anymore.
I am interested. You know, maybe Greek Freak decides to go and represent Greece. They are automatically a contender then. It's a very interesting scene. And this is something interesting as well. I had the opportunity to go to Slovenia and Croatia a few summers ago. And while I was there, I naturally, you know, asked about the basketball culture down there. I was like, Drazen Petrovic, Vlade Divac, Tony Kukoc, And I asked them how popular of a sport basketball is, like, in the Balkans over there. And apparently it's not even in, like, the top five.
Whoa.
Damn. I know. Like, water polo is more popular over there than basketball.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's hella weird, even though they produce so many great players.
I would love to see Giannis and all three of his brothers represent Greece.
That'd be crazy.
Run train for a while. They would. I guarantee they'll do that because they, like...
They're very
constantly
close.
They're, like, yeah, they're close. They're always, like, boosting each other up and everything they're doing. Giannis' older brother, who got drafted by the Knicks, is, like, the Greek League MVP every year now.
Do you know who he plays for? He plays for Rick Pitino.
Did you see when Rick Pitino's team left the playoff game, like, a minute in and forfeited, like, literally left the gym in protest of the refs?
Oh, I love it. I love it. This is Rick Pitino belongs, like... I don't think he belongs in Greece, but he belongs in the Balkans, coaching like some shady team in Belgrade, you know.
He's always looked like a mobster. Like,
absolutely. We're like,
him over there, let him pop open a couple buttons on that shirt, show off that Louisville championship tattoo. And let him under the table dealings with refs.
Absolutely. And the fans are smoking cigarettes and the refs are smoking cigarettes and even the players are smoking cigarettes. That's where he belongs.
Oh man.
I'm so glad we could talk about the Balkans. Oh, makes me so happy.
before we get to my ending thinker, I just remembered, let's go back to racism for a minute, our favorite topic. Ooh. Here.
we're all very qualified to talk on this, of course.
Right. I once had a friend of my grandfather's, I think. Basketball came up one time. I happened to be visiting my grandfather and his friend was there. And he said that the Jazz were a racist team because they didn't want because they don't want Jimmer Fredette.
Great point.
He said that it's like reverse racism because they only want black guys on the team.
Oh, meanwhile, AK-47 and Gordon Hayward and.
Give Jimmer a chance with his terribly, terribly slow speed and agility, but pretty good shot. Sometimes.
And his weird shaped body.
Yeah, I said, buddy, it's not just the Jazz. It's no team wants him. And it's not because he's white. It's because he's like a specialist, and the league has grown out of that. Also, you're just wrong. You can't say that.
Jared said, buddy, it's not just the Jazz. The whole NBA is racist for not giving enough white guys chances.
I could have been in the league.
Wasn't it already mentioned on this episode, Doug Gottlieb, who had the take that Europe is sending white guys to the league, but America can't do it? It was like, how many, what are the numbers here? What do you think the numbers are here? Because they're actually pretty, pretty close. Like, there's American white guys in the league, right, Doug?
Really? I bet you can't name 50 of them.
Well, in 2013, they were all, I know, in 2009, they were all on the Pacers, and it just became a lot harder since they started to disperse after that.
Let me just reach into my my little black book where I keep all the white American players' names. Gordon Hayward.
It's always first. Gordon Hayward is always first on that list.
All I'm saying is, first of all, we have to change that because, first of all, Gordon's not that good right now. And Kevin Love is one of the five hottest men in the NBA, and it is a crime that he does not get top billing anymore.
Yeah, it's a shame.
He's having a blast up in Cleveland. Like, did you see that celebration when he threw the outlet pass to and then they went nuts? Like, he's living his best life right now. I'm so happy for K-Love.
I am too. He had to be Chris Bosh for a few years there, but now hopefully people will come back around to him.
Just if he would just get on IG and only post pictures of like him in a nice sweater drinking some wine, he would legit be like, he would be the most popular player. He would be one of the 10 most popular players in the league within like a year. Everyone who ever incorrectly believed that Kyle Korver was hot would come flock to the church of Kevin Love and peace and harmony in Ohio.
Man, if he were to just get back to being thick K-Love.
Ooh. Started.
Thick K-Love, baby.
Right, getting those 30-30 games.
No, we can't talk about thickness or Will's going to go off.
End the show.
Before Will goes off, I have two thinkers today. I have a special bonus.
Ooh.
So I'm going to start with this one from Governor Ed Rendell. So it's in the year of 2014. Joel Embiid is a great pick for Sixers, but we will regret passing on Doug McDermott for years to come.
So Doug McDermott is another person on that list, and he's on the Pacers.
All right, let's get to the bonus. This is from a man. This isn't about basketball at all, but this man comments on basketball every now and then. A great quote from this morning, and this is on. Apparently on rumors of his daily horniness.
Yes.
What?
This is Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, I did. What?
His quote on being asked about the rumors of his daily horniness. He says, "A few hours in the day, yes, but not all." I digress.
Man, re-fucking tweet, Stephen A.
For now on, whenever I gotta say some fried shit, I'm just gonna say, I digress.
Oh, man.
Get Stephen A. some rest, man.
A few hours in the day?
Get him some rest.
A few hours?
A few hours? Oh, for sure.
All day? That's a close corollary to my response. I mean, not at work.
He's like, what time is it right now? All right, we this is dangerous territory. You can find Brent on Twitter. His handle is Brent is back, baby.
And man, huge shout out and thanks to Brent for coming on. This was super late notice, and it was a blast.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Great. Love to talk some round ball.
We
whatever
know Brent.
Ted Cruz called it that one time.
We know Brent from a basketball chat in the DMs, and he seriously came on with an hour of notice. But as you've heard he has some great takes. And he's real
thank
fun.
You. Thank you. I just love to talk, as you can tell.
Well, that's what this is for.
You're talking to three guys who started a podcast preaching the choir, man.
Thanks for having me on again, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
Really appreciate it.
So anyone has any tweets, any hot takes for us? Any basketball ideas or anything at all, you can find us at A Full Court Mess on Twitter.
If anyone's interested in being on the podcast, just follow A Full Court Mess and refresh the page about 7 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays.
It worked for me.
If anyone has in-person shots of NBA players' asses from games, send them to me on my personal account.
Which you can find in the bio of the Full Court Mess account.
Great point.
And maybe we'll discuss those on the pod. Who knows? Anyways, thanks for listening. Really appreciate your time. And never forget that we love you.
Thank you very much.